Welcome to the Hamilton Spectator's Newsroom Insider Podcast. I'm your host this week for episode 10, Natalie Patton, and I'm a reporter here at the Spectator. Where are all the women? That's a question reporter Joanna Frikatich asks in her story coming out in Saturday's paper that examines the number of women among the top public sector salary earners in Hamilton and Burlington. We chat with her about why this story is important and how she found this information out. So thanks very much, Joanna, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me a bit about how this story came to be.
Well, I do the public salary disclosure story every year. So by March 31st, the province releases all salaries of 100,000 or more for public sector employers. And because the list is really dominated by healthcare, especially at the top end, I'm the one that ends up doing the main story every year. And when you do the story over time, there's certain things that you start to notice. So I started to notice that when I'm, you know, doing the list of the top five earners in Hamilton, when I'm doing the list of the top five earners at Hamilton Health Sciences or St. Joseph's or a number of other organizations, that these lists were dominated by men. And it was something that my editor, Cheryl Steppen, had also noticed as well. And the two of us started talking about, you know, taking a closer look at that list and seeing if, you know, what we thought we were seeing was really true, if there really were far fewer women on the list, especially among the highest earners, than men.
And tell me a bit about what you did find out.
So what we found out was that there is women are vastly underrepresented on the list among the highest earners. Now, I looked primarily at those earning $250,000 or more. And what you find is that when you look at that group, women account for about one in three at $250,000 or more. And this is in the Hamilton and Burlington areas. That would be all the public sector employers in Hamilton and Burlington. When you get to looking at just the top 50 earners, that brings women closer to one in four. For the top 25, it's fewer than one in five and quite a bit fewer than one in five. And then it drops to one in the top 10. So you can really see this triangle effect where you know, the higher up the list you go, the fewer women you find. And when I talked to, when I talked to the Equal Pay Coalition and some other groups that work on pay equity and, you know, women in leadership roles, things like that, they said that this is a very common result, that no matter where you start in jobs and salaries, that no matter where you start, you will find it looks like a triangle. So there'll be a lot of women at the bottom, and the higher up you go, the fewer women that you will find. And that it narrows quite rapidly at the top, you know, at the top earners.
From talking to groups like the Equal Pay Coalition, did you get a sense of why this is, why that triangle effect seems to be in place?
Well, nobody had an exact answer on why. There's so many potential reasons why. I talked to some of the highest earners in Hamilton, and some of them felt it had to do with women's individual choices. You know, one of them talked about how she's been on selection committees for leadership jobs, and no women have applied. So some of them talked about it being women's own personal choices. Then others talked about women having less ability to access networks and senior executive sponsors that would help you to find those roles or help you get into those roles. They talked about there being unequal accessibility to professional development and to the types of jobs that really make you stand out to senior executive team members. So, you know, maybe that special assignment or that special project that would really make your work stand out, that women tend to have less opportunity to do that. One thing that was really interesting was, one of the experts talked about the motherhood penalty is what she called it. And what she was talking about was that women, whether or not they want to have children, can be penalized for that. So, you know, a young woman, an example would be a young woman in an office maybe is passed up for promotion and a man gets it instead because the people who are hiring are worried that she will get pregnant in the near future and, you know, take maternity leave. And so I thought that was interesting because it didn't matter whether the women had children or not, or whether they even wanted children or not, that that can still come into play. And then others talked about how women generally still are the caregivers in most of the time for the primary caregivers, for children, for elderly parents, for family members with disabilities or illness. And that obviously can really impact, you know, your it can really impact your career and advancement to your career. And, you know, some of the bias they talked about is unconscious bias, which they said is the most difficult to combat because you can't really put your finger on that. You know, you can't really, it's not right in front of your face. So, you know, they were talking about how it's just so many factors, and some of them are conscious and some of them are unconscious factors.
I guess let's take a step back and kind of run me through how you found this information, how you sort of crunched the numbers, what numbers you used. Tell me a bit about your process.
So what we did was you can download the public salary disclosure from the government's website. So we downloaded the whole list, which is thousands and thousands of lines, tens of thousands of lines. And what I did was I just took out the top 250,000 and put that in its own spreadsheet. Not top 250,000, those earning 250,000 or more, and put them in their own spreadsheet. And then I went through that spreadsheet line by line and pulled every person out who is in Hamilton or Burlington, works in Hamilton or Burlington. So then that gave me a spreadsheet of Hamilton's top earners. And from there, you know, I could break it down by organization or look at it in a number of different ways. I also pulled out the top five earners for certain organizations, major organizations in Hamilton and Burlington, like the hospitals and the school board and the city. Those people might not make 250,000, not all of them on the top five list, depending on what organization it is. So that was more, I had to go back to the provincial list and find them if they didn't appear in that 250,000 or above. But it was really just going through the spreadsheets and separating them by organization or separating them out by the top 25 or the top 50, you know, depending on what we wanted to do with that. And when we talked about some of the big findings, one of the things that I didn't talk about was the difference when you look at the top 10 women's salaries and the top 10 men's salaries. It is a really stark difference. So for men, the top 10 paid men made between 402,000 and around 726,000. And half of those men made 500,000 or more. And the women at the top of the salary ladder, they made about $100,000 to $300,000 less, and with only one making more than 400,000. So you really, you know, when we started to look at the spreadsheets and look at those top spots, it really became apparent.
Now, why do you think stories like this are important? Why do you think it's, you know, very crucial to examine issues like this?
Well, I think the women's pay issue is particularly important because, you know, you hear about it. You hear about it all the time. But it's hard to sort of grasp until you see sort of concrete examples. And, you know, you really start to wonder, you know, women make up so many of those graduating from university. Even the women leaders that I talked to in the story, they talked about how at the leadership tables at places like Hamilton Health Sciences and St. Joseph's and at the Lynn, there's many of those people at the table are women. In fact, they said a lot of times the majority of the people at those tables are women. So it's easy to sort of get this idea that there isn't that disparity, or that maybe things are a lot better than we think they are. You know, it's easy to sort of have that disparity masked a bit. And so when you actually sit down and look at the numbers, it really sets it out in a concrete way. And the only way that you're going to be able to improve things is when you are able to sort of identify that issue and start to talk about that issue and start to look at, you know, why you might start seeing those results. And that's the only way that you're gonna start to see improvement. Because, you know, I really felt that if the people themselves who are in those leadership roles, you know, haven't really felt that or seen that themselves, it really shows that, you know, it's something that that's not very apparent, and that, you know, something like this story is important to sort of get it out there in the public realm where people can start to discuss it in the community.
Well, thanks so much for taking time to talk about your work, Joanna.
Well, thanks so much for having me.